I guess I was going to say goes without saying, but it's not going to go without saying. What a blessing and an honor it is for me and Janet to be here. This is one of the highlights of my summer, to get to come and worship with y'all. I just, this congregation, because this was the first place that the Lord ever gave me the opportunity to preach publicly, holds a very special place in my heart. This people is very special. I couldn't even tell you how special your pastor and his wife is to me. They're just dear friends, and I am honored to be able to be here and worship with you. Now, if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Now, there is, I don't fear being wrong in making this statement, that Psalm 23 is the most familiar passage of Scripture to everybody, everywhere. People that don't even own a Bible can quote all of, or at least parts of Psalm 23. But let's be very careful not to let familiarity make us not pay attention and think, well, I've heard that before. I've seen that before. This psalm is a blessed psalm to God's people. Amen. Someone said David wrote many psalms. He wrote, how many psalms did David write? He wrote one, Psalm 23. Just one. And these six verses have comfort for everyone. Every age, every situation, this psalm has some comfort, some instruction for us. Now, this Psalm 23 is the psalm of the shepherd. And you'll notice that the psalm of the shepherd immediately follows the psalm of the cross. Psalm 22 is the psalm of the cross. The bloody agony of Psalm 22 must come first before the sheep can know the sweet care of the shepherd in Psalm 23. Christ can't be our shepherd who cares and loves and provides for his sheep until he buys them with his own blood. There can't be any surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life until first the my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Of Psalm 22. So I want us to look at this psalm this evening with this theme. This is the title of the message. I shall not want. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now you think of the condescension of the Lord. The Lord of glory condescended to be the shepherd of his sheep. But being the shepherd is not just something that the Lord does. It's not just an occupation of series of things that he does. This is who the Lord is. This is one of the great names of Jehovah in the Old Testament. Jehovah Raah, the Lord my shepherd. This is who the Lord is. And the reason this psalm is such a great blessing to God's people, it blessed God's people for generations, is because it so clearly speaks of Christ the shepherd, of who he is. He's the shepherd of the sheep. And what a shepherd. Oh, what a shepherd. Look over at Isaiah chapter 40. You know how Isaiah chapter 40 begins. It begins, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And as he comforts his people, look at what he says in verse 11. Mm-hmm. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Our shepherd deeply cares for each one of his sheep. He doesn't just care for this gigantic, nameless flock. He cares for each one of his sheep. So much so, he gathers them with his strong arm. He carries those lambs. He carries them in his bosom. How he cares his sheep. Those that are with young, those that are weak, he doesn't make fun of them and beat them and harass them for not keeping up and not being strong. No, he gently leads them. He's the great shepherd of his sheep. You remember before the Lord fed the 5,000 with those five loaves and two fishes. That's that boy's lunch. We read that the Savior was moved with compassion. The heart of the King, the Lord, the Savior, was moved with compassion for this crowd because he said, there are sheep not having a shepherd. And then he moved with compassion and acted as their shepherd and fed them, didn't he? Look at John chapter 10. Here's our shepherd in action. John chapter 10. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Our shepherd calls his sheep. He calls them out. He gives them an ear to hear his voice. And he leads them out. He leads them. Every step the sheep take, the shepherd's taken first. He never puts the sheep out in front of him to protect him. He always goes first. So every step we take, a step of sorrow, a step of darkness, a step of weariness, a step of joy, a step of faith, whatever step it is we take, the Savior's taking it first. Our shepherd's taking, he leads his sheep. Look at verse 11. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ loves his sheep with a redeeming love, a love that would move him to die as their substitute. He says at the end of verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Not just anybody in general, but for the sheep. The shepherd became a lamb. He became one of his sheep to die as their substitute. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, died that his sheep might live. He loves them with a redeeming love. Verse 14, he said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Lord knows his sheep in love, and he makes sure his sheep know him. He calls them to him. He reveals himself to them. He knows them and they know him. And Christ, our great shepherd, never lost one sheep. Amen. Never one. Verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall. Not maybe, not they could, not if they're willing. No, they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Because Christ, the great shepherd, has never lost a sheep. Amen. And he never will. He's going to have them all. Now Christ, David says, is my shepherd. My shepherd. How humbling that is to think. The Lord's my shepherd. He cares for me. He loves me. Mind-boggling, isn't it? It's so humbling, so glorifying to Him that He could care and love for someone like me. He's my shepherd. But now don't ever mistake this. The Lord, my shepherd, He has all authority over me. Amen. He has a loving, warm, sweet relationship with His people. But don't you ever forget, we bow to Him as King. He's still King. Christ is not my co-pilot. He's not my good buddy. He's not my example. Christ is my shepherd. I go where He tells me to go, when He tells me to go, how He tells me to go. He has all authority over His sheep because He owns me as His sheep. And I wouldn't have it any other way. He owns His sheep. But now He owns His sheep in great love. David knew about being a shepherd, didn't he? How much time did David spend being the shepherd for his father, Jesse's flock? He knew about sheep. David knew that sheep were bought with a great price. Sheep are not wild animals. They belong to somebody. Somebody's got to take care of a sheep. A sheep can't last out there on his own. A goat can, but a sheep can't. Sheep are bought with a great price. Christ had bought his sheep in Psalm 22. He bought them with the great price of his precious blood. He redeemed them so that he owns them. Amen. Sheep were a symbol of wealth. You know, you go into a new town, you want to know who the richest fella in town is? Just see who owns most sheep. That's a symbol of wealth and power and authority. Well, Christ is the great shepherd. He has a flock no man can number. And He won't let any one of that flock go. He'll not lose one of them because He loves them. He bought them. His glory depends on Him not losing one. David's going to tell us in a minute, you know why the Lord's our shepherd? You know why we shall not want? You know why the Lord's going to provide everything we need? Why He'll never lose one of His sheep? For His name's sake. His glory depends upon it. So He's not going to lose one of His sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd, so I won't want for anything. Jehovah Raha is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. That's my shepherd. He'll provide everything we need. Now you know this is true. Physically, this is true. The Lord is going to provide everything we need. The Lord feeds the ravens. Now He doesn't just say, you know, He feeds doves, or He feeds robins, or He feeds eagles, you know, the pretty birds, birds that are majestic. The raven, the hated raven. Ugh. The Lord feeds the ravens. You reckon He's going to feed me and you? I think He will. The Lord clothes the lilies of the field. Consider the lilies. You reckon He's going to clothe us? I think He will. I won't have everything I wish for. Now, Dave's not saying this. He's not preaching this health and wealth and religion. I won't have everything I wish for. But if the Lord's my shepherd, I won't be in want. If I'm wishing for something I don't have, it must be because I don't need it. Is that right? If I needed it, He'd provide it. That's true, isn't it? That's true physically. But this is doubly true spiritually. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for any good, for any spiritual good. And it's because of who my shepherd is. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If Christ is my shepherd, I shall not want for any spiritual food, because my shepherd is the bread of life. The green pastures, He brings His people to lay down in, makes them lay down these green pastures. It's His Word. The sheep feed upon the Word of God. We preach God's Word because this is how God's sheep are fed. And this Word is Christ. Christ is the incarnate Word, and He's the written Word too. You can't separate the incarnate Word from the written Word. So when God's sheep come to feed, we feed on Christ. Well, if we're feeding on the Lord, we've got a feast, don't we? Oh, He gives His sheep good food. And He leads His people to feed upon His Word. Now, how does the Lord lead His people to feed upon His Word? By revealing Himself in His Word. That's how. He opens the Word to our understanding. Just like He did to His disciples. Remember, after our Lord arose and He appeared to His disciples, He taught them all those things in the Old Testament, and the law and the Psalms and the prophets were all concerning Him. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Word. They could quote Psalm 23. I'm confident those disciples could quote Psalm 23. Since they were little fellas, they could quote Psalm 23. But now they understood it because they saw it's Christ. That's how He opens our understanding. And the sheep love nothing better than to come into the green pastures of God's Word and just feed to our heart's content. My brother reminds me ever so often. He said, sheep aren't real smart. Sheep aren't armed for battle. They're not warriors. They're sheep. They're grass eaters. And what the sheep need is to come to the house of the Lord and just roll around in the green pastures and just feed. That's what the sheep love. We love nothing better than to graze to our heart's content upon the Word of God. You just turn to any page in this book and you feast on it. You're not going to find one thorn there. It's all sweet grass because Christ is, our shepherd is the bread of life. Then if Christ is my shepherd, I shall not want for the water of life. The rest of verse 2. He leadeth me beside still waters. Christ leads His people to Him to drink. He is the water of life. If any man thirst, are you thirsty? The question is not, do you know the chemical makeup of water? The question is not, do you have a glass that you can use to drink the water? This is the question. Are you thirsty? Do you not have inside you what you need? That's when we thirst. We thirst when there's a sense we don't have enough water in us. Are you thirsty? You don't have any righteousness. You don't have any holiness. You don't have any peace. Are you thirsty? The shepherd says, come unto me and drink. Come drink. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, how does the Lord give us living water? How is it that we can drink this living water? It's by faith. By faith in Christ. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's by faith we have this water. If we have faith in Christ, we'll never thirst, because he's a well of water springing up in us. And listen, these are not hard waters to drink. You don't have to be an intellectual to come drink this water of life. You don't have to be smart to come drink the water of life. I get reminded of this every so often too by my dear wife. She says, you know, preachers, this is humiliating to preachers. God forbid we ever do this. She said, preachers can make this so difficult. I'm not smart enough to be saved. Now, that's not the gospel. There's something wrong with preaching like that. These are not hard waters to drink. David says they're still waters. That phrase, still waters, means waters of quietness. These are deep, cold, smooth flowing water. They're not rushing waters that make a bunch of noise and go over top of the rocks and stuff. You know, it's very shallow water going over top of rocks and makes a bunch of noise. We don't need to make a bunch of noise in preaching. These are deep, cold, still, smooth flowing waters. They're not going to frighten the lamb, but let the lamb come and drink all he wants. If you're thirsty, come drink all you want. If Christ is your shepherd, you'll never want for the water of life. Then if Christ is my shepherd, I shall not want for life. Because my shepherd is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Now by his sin, Adam plunged his entire race into spiritual death. Adam caused his race, everyone he represented, the whole human race, he caused them to lose righteousness. He caused them to lose fellowship with God. So Christ came to restore to his race everything we lost in Adam. Except better. What we have in Christ, we can never lose. What we had in Adam, we could lose, couldn't we? What we have in Christ, we can never lose. Because it all depends upon the shepherd, not us. By his obedience, the Lord Jesus Christ undid everything Adam did by his disobedience. Christ restores the soul of his people by giving them life. But it's a whole lot better than giving us a birthday present and we open it up and inside the box there's life. Christ gives his people life by being their life. Christ is our life. If you have him, you have life. Christ restores fellowship with God. Not by just giving us a way to God, but by being the way to God. We're accepted in the Beloved. And Christ daily restores and strengthens the souls of his people while we're on this journey here below. And we need that, don't we? I had a dear friend yesterday evening came to the service. And my friend's in it deep. He's in it deep. His father is dying. And it's ugly. It's going to be bad. He's brokenhearted. He's worried about his mother. It's not good. You know, he left the service last night with at least a little smile on his face. He said, I was fed. I'm ready to go back out now. His soul was strengthened. His soul was restored by feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're weary, He restores the soul of His people by fellowshipping with our heart, giving us the strength and the courage to go on. When you think, I can't take another step, He restores the soul of His people by strengthening us with His strength. When we sorrow and we think, I'm never going to see another day where I can smile, I'm never going to see one more day of sunshine and happiness, He restores the soul of His people by giving us the joy of His salvation. I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. Then if Christ is my shepherd, I shall not want for righteousness. Because my shepherd is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. Now let's be sure not to pass over this quickly. This is important. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Rest verse 3. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Christ our shepherd does more than lead us in paths of righteousness. Don't think that somehow the Lord, you know, puts us now on the right path and somehow we can do something righteous. That's not what David means here. Christ is the path. Christ is the way. He is our righteousness. And He makes His sheep righteous in Him. Christ came as a man. The Lord of glory, the Prince of glory, the glory of heaven became a man. And as a man, He obeyed the law for His people. And His people are righteous. Not like they're righteous. They're righteous. Through union with Christ. His obedience is our obedience. What He did, we did in Him. If we're in Christ, we are what He is. Our shepherd makes His people righteous. As righteous as the Lamb of God Himself. He is our righteousness. So we're righteous in Him. Then if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for companionship. Now there'll be times we'll be alone. But we don't have to fear it. We don't have to fear being alone. Because my shepherd is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. He's there. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I'll fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. Why, David, why not? Because the Lord's there. Because the Lord's with me. Now you'll notice David didn't say there won't be any evil. Oh, there are going to be plenty evil. There are plenty of evil in me. There are plenty of evil all around me. But I don't have to fear that evil. As long as my shepherd is there with me. And He always is. He's always present. A child of God, listen to me. Listen. If you don't need this at this second, we'll need it soon. No matter where you go, no matter where you are right now or where you're going to go in the future, wherever it is you go in the future is where the shepherd leads. You're following Him, right? No matter where it is you go in the future, our God will be there with you. Brother Chapman said one time, everywhere there's a where, God's there. Everywhere there's a where. So when you go to the mountaintop of joy, and don't we love those times? There's times of great spiritual blessing. There's times you're afraid to miss a single service because the Lord blesses so richly. Oh, on that mountaintop, you've got every reason to give thanks, don't you? The Lord's there with you. That's why you have that time of joy and happiness. But when you go into the hour of darkness and doubt and fear, you feel loneliness, you suffer heartbreak, you suffer sickness and pain, the Lord's there. He's just as much there with you there as He was with you on the mountaintop. He's there. He's there with His people. So we'll hurt, but we don't have to fear because the Lord is with us. Let me give you a couple examples. A little girl. Picture a little girl. This time of year, it's hot outside. She's a little thing, 2-3 years old. She's wearing her little shorts or sunskirt or something, you know, and she's out playing. And oh my goodness, she trips over them sandals. You know, they always trip over the soles of them sandals. Down she goes, skins her knee. Oh, you think we're going to have to get a surgical team? She's just crying and carrying on. She's going to have to wear a Band-Aid for a month, you know. And her mama comes and says, "Honey, it's all right. Shh, shh. Mama's here." And you know, those tears start to dry up pretty quick because mama's here. Wherever it is we go, our Lord is there. Mm-hmm. Then think of a little boy. I remember being a little boy before we moved to Ashland. We lived in Danville. And I would walk to and from school there. And we were there recently, and I showed my brother and his wife where I used to walk to school. And you know what I remembered? I did that walk to and from school in utter fear. Just fear. I was afraid of dogs coming out and biting me. And there was one particular bully I was scared to death of. I'm just going home from school just utterly afraid. He was there waiting on me. But you know when I wouldn't have been afraid? There are times I went down the street and completely unafraid. You know why? I was taking a walk with my dad. Well, little boys know this. My daddy can take care of anything. So if I'm with him, I don't fear nothing if my daddy's there. Now, truth be told, there are problems human daddies can't handle. But our shepherd is our heavenly Father. He'll take care of any problem. There's nothing too hard for God. He takes care of every evil. That evil within, Christ cleanses it from His people with His own precious blood. He keeps His people safe from the evil around us, safe from the evil one. He protects His sheep, even from the evil that we call death. Now, for a believer, we should never, ever call death evil, should we? Never. For a believer, that's the happiest day of our life. The day we leave this body of corruption and sin and decay and rebellion and go be with the Lord. But we live in a world where death is all around us. We're driving down here today. We're driving past a cemetery, and I saw them putting up that tent. They're going to get ready to have a funeral. And I thought, there's a poor family going to be there brokenhearted. We live in a world where death is all around us. We live under the shadow of this great mountain of death. We know someday we've got to cross that mountain. And there's fear, for lack of a better word, because it's unknown. I've never done that before, so I don't know what it's like. I think of someone living at the foot of that Rocky Mountain. I mean, that Rocky Mountain just goes up, and someone living there lives in the shadow of that thing. They see it every day. They're living in the shadow of it. And they know someday I got to cross that. It's not today, but someday I'm going to have to. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what that's like. That's living in the shadow of this great mountain of death. But David says, we don't have to fear that. It's just a shadow. Christ our shepherd has already taken the substance of death out of the way. He took the sting of death out of the way. So there's nothing to fear. One writer said this, death is the front porch to the house of eternal joy. We love our front porch, don't we? We sit out there and entertain folks and sit out there. Nobody needs to fear our front porch. That's all death is. It's the front porch to the house of eternal joy. Here's another reason not to fear the shadow. If there's a shadow, by definition, light has to be nearby. You don't see a shadow in the dark of midnight, do you? If we see a shadow, if we see this shadow of death, Christ our light is nearby, then we've got nothing to fear. See, we speak of the time of trouble and trial and affliction as the valley. And it is. That's a good way to phrase it. But you picture, there are two great mountains right next to each other. And between them, there's a valley. Get that picture in your head. You know where the water is? You know where all the lush grass is? Down there in the valley. It's not up there on the top of the mountain. All that water's run down to the bottom. That's where the lush green grass is. So it must be good for us to be in the valley. At least there we learn the Lord's with us. And he will provide for us. That's where all of his provision for his people is. And David shows us he's got no fear of being in the valley. He says, I'm walking through it. David, I'm not running through in panic. I'm not scurrying here and there and everywhere, you know, trying to find a way out. I'm not in a panic. I'm walking. I'm not running through this thing as fast as I can to get out of it. Because I don't fear it. Because I'm following my shepherd. Because my shepherd is there with me. So I calmly walk, following him. See, this is what comforts the hearts of God's people. It's the presence of the Savior himself. The presence of the shepherd comforts the hearts of his sheep. David says, his rod and his staff comfort me. I don't have to fear if the Lord's my shepherd, because his rod and his staff protect me from every danger. Danger from within and danger from without. The shepherd uses his rod to correct the sheep. He uses that hook to hook them around the neck and keep them from going off the wrong way. I'm thankful for that, because this is why I can promise you I'd go off the wrong way. But no, he uses that to protect me from the evil within. And he uses that staff to beat off the predators when they get too close. That's a comfort to me. I don't have to worry about those predators. My shepherd will take care of them. And then that rod is comforting this way too. The shepherd uses the rod to number his sheep. To say, this one's mine. As they're putting them in the sheepfold, he's counting them. This one's mine. This one's mine. This one's mine. His rod counts me as one of his. He chose me. He bought me. I belong to him. He's my shepherd. Then what do I have to fear? Mm-hmm. Not one blessed thing. Then if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for victory, because my shepherd is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now God's people are drawn to Christ, the banner lifted up. The Savior said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. I'll draw all my sheep unto me. God's people fight under the banner of Christ lifted up. That's why we always have the victory, because of who our Savior is. I like to watch good war movies. I've once or twice watched The Band of Brothers, once or twice. And this is what I've learned from watching those shows. Soldiers on the front line, when they're under threat of the enemy, under fire, they're down there in that foxhole, they never eat at a nice table with nice linen tablecloth and linen napkins and nice china and good silverware. They never use that stuff when they're under fire. They just sit down in that foxhole and eat out a little bag, you know, rations. That's all they got time for. The only time one of those soldiers sits down at one of those fine tables with fine china and a big meal like we had tonight. You only eat that kind of meal when you're at peace. The victory's already been won. Christ has prepared a full table for his children. Sometime go read about all the provision for Solomon's table in one day. Where in the world they find all those animals and birds and vegetables and all the stuff they put in. I don't know that we eat that much food in 6 months. How did he find all that food? The table God has prepared for his children, much better provided than Solomon's table, because our shepherd provides the banquet. Christ is the table. He is the table. We sit down to observe the Lord's table. Christ is the table. It's his broken body, his shed blood. What a feast. A feast of salvation. A feast of redemption. And Christ is the one who prepares the table. Remember that day the disciples had gone out fishing. They caught nothing. They're giving up, coming back in. And there's a man standing over on the shore. He said, children, have you any meat? And they said, no, we haven't caught anything. He said, well, cast your net over there. And they did. And they caught all these fish, you know. Peter said, it's the Lord. He dives in, you know. And when they got there and pulled all those fish up to the shore, the Lord already had a meal prepared. Fish and bread. I bet you that was the best meal they'd ever tasted. The Lord prepared it himself. That's this gospel we preach. It's the best meal a believer ever tasted because the Lord's prepared it for us. The Lord is the meal. And this table is a rich table, a table for honored guests. Look at the rest of verse 5. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now at this time, a host, when his guests would come, would anoint their head with oil to refresh them in the hot, dusty area that they lived. He'd anoint their head with oil to refresh them, to make them feel more comfortable. Well, that's what the Lord does for his people. He anoints them with oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit. He refreshes his people with his word, with his presence, and with his spirit. And when the honored guest would arrive, the host would give him a glass, and he'd begin to pour wine in it. And pour and pour and pour till that wine just overflowed. When that was overflowing, he'd keep pouring till it overflowed and ran everywhere. To show that guest, you're an honored guest. There's an abundance here. And when you're my guest, when you're under my roof, you'll never want for anything. That's what Christ does for his people. That's what our shepherd does for his people. If we have him, we have everything. Everything. We shall not want for peace because Christ is our peace. We shall not want for wisdom because Christ is our wisdom. We shall not want for sanctification because Christ is our sanctification. We shall not want for redemption because Christ is our redemption. We shall not want for comfort because he is all of our comfort. If we got him, we got it all. We've got every blessing God has for a sinner in our shepherd. Now, since all this is true, see, I told you all of our comfort, all of our joy, every reason that we shall not want is because of who our shepherd is. Since this is who our shepherd is, then this must be sure. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy are God's two bodyguards. He sent to be with his children. Goodness to supply our every need. Mercy to blot out our sin. And no matter where one of his children goes, goodness and mercy go with them. That's true in dark days and in bright days. That's true in days of joy and days of sorrow. That's true when my heart is thrilled and when my heart is broken. Goodness and mercy have not left me, but they're there with me always. In this life we live in the valley, in the shadow of death, it's not going to last forever. Not going to last forever. Soon, it will be over. And when it is, we're not going to be left homeless. David says, I shall. When I leave this valley, when this walk through the valley is finally over, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wish I had some, I know I don't have the words for it, I wish I had some understanding of the joy that it will be to be with Christ eternally. I can't describe it because I can't begin to imagine it. But when we're there, we're going to look back. And you know what we're going to see? I really did never want for anything. The Lord always provided. It all depends upon him. Yeah. None of it on me. I may be the weakest of sheep, but I shall not want. I may be the dumbest sheep and wander away from the shepherd. How dumb do I got to be? But I shall not want if the Lord's my shepherd. I may grow old and feeble. If the Lord tarries, doesn't take me in the strength of life, I will grow old and feeble. But I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Because of who he is. I pray that the Lord will bless that to His glory and our comfort and encouragement. May the Lord bless you.